Hello and welcome to Lancaster Baptist Church, to our services online. Very grateful to you for joining us again Sunday after Sunday, for your faithfulness to tune in into our services as they are broadcasted via Facebook or YouTube or wherever they are. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope this services have been a blessing to you as they've been to me. Lovely to see different people and to hear their stories, to see different people from our fellowship taking part in the service. And this service is no different, especially as we continue through this series of sermons. Different people will take part in it, and different people will be using their gifting and their talents to serve God in this way. And also, it's nice to participate with as many people as possible in the service, because it makes us feel again one part, one body, as the Bible describes it. And we are together worshiping the Lord in different ways. And I'm sure that even if you can't take part in this service, you will worship the Lord in your own home where you are with your family. And I'd like to thank again to all those people who work so hard behind the scenes to put these services together, to make them look nice, and to for us to have them available in our own homes, to watch them, whether on Facebook, as I said, or on CDs or DVDs or whatever. And welcome to our another Sunday, another day of worship. And I hope that all the music, all the songs chosen, God's word will be deeply moving into your spirit, but also will take root into your heart, that will grow you, will develop you, will nourish you, and it will bring intimacy between you and the Lord. And this is just another resource for you to use as you try and get closer to the Lord day by day, week by week, as the story of us being confined to our own spaces still unfolds as such. And may I wish you God's blessing as you join us for this service yet again this Sunday morning.
Hello. So, in the story that Emilian's looking at today, there's a mention of thankfulness. And so I've been thinking about that and wondering, what's my friend Dan thankful for?
This week, I'm particularly thankful for two things that both begin with the letter L, coincidentally. Laughter and learning. I'm listening to lots of podcasts and reading lots of things, and I just think it's really exciting to learn so much about this fascinating world without even leaving the house. And then laughter. Lots of people are making me laugh. Friends on Zoom, pupils that I get to work with, reading a book of funny stories. They make me laugh. So 2 hours, laughter and learning.
Thank you, Dan. Laughter and learning. So what are you thankful for? What am I thankful for? Excuse me. Myrtle says she knows what I'm thankful for. Right. She would like to tell you all what she thinks I am thankful for. Here we go.
So, I have made a poster of some of the things I think that Debbie is thankful for. And I just looked through the photos on her phone. Yeah, so I found chocolate, obviously. And also playing games, which she plays every day with her family, and they win sweets. She likes that. I think she's thankful for her avatar on Facebook, because it doesn't look anything like her and it's very flattering. Yes, I think she's thankful for butterflies. And I think she's thankful for chocolate cake. Yes, that's what I think.
Yeah, thanks, Myrtle. That's some of the things that I'm thankful for. Chocolate cake, winning games, not butterflies. I'm thankful that my avatar looks much nicer than I do. But actually, the things that I'm really thankful for are on here. I won't go through them all, but I agree with Dan. It's a lot about laughter and a lot about learning. I'm having a good laugh with family and friends on Zoom. I am learning how to use Zoom and Facebook and all the other things that we can use to keep in touch with each other. I'm thankful for my Bible, because it's really important to keep reading your Bible, like we said last week, and to learn more and more about God. I'm thankful that we can have communion on a Friday together. Grown-ups, if you don't know about that, get in touch. We'd love you to join in. I'm thankful that there are a group of people thinking about how to do Holiday Club when we can't do Holiday Club. But we actually need to thank God and talk to him in person, don't we? Not just think about what it is, but actually go and thank him, like it'll say in this story today. Take some time to pray today, whether you draw pictures of all the things that you're thankful for, or whether you write a little letter, or make a card, or whether you just get on your knees and say, thank you, God, for all the wonderful things that you give to me. Here's a verse in the Bible. Continue praying, keeping alert, and always thanking God. How funny. Keeping alert. That seems to be the message that we're hearing a lot these days, isn't it? But let's do that. Let's continue praying and thanking God. Father God, you give us so many good things. And it would be easy at this terrible time to just focus on the sad things around us. But Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we are able to communicate with each other. And we thank you that there is laughter. And we thank you, Lord, for our church family, that in lots of different ways, on the telephone and on video links, that we can stay together as a church and support each other. We thank you for our Bibles. We thank you for the act of communion, where we remember that you died for us and that you love us. And we thank you, Lord, for creative people who are coming up with ways to do things that will help to share the gospel with others. Lord Jesus, help us to not just think that we're thankful, but to actually come and say thank you to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus died and rose. Ours is the same condition, the same. inspired Savior, whose love can strengthen to toil with zeal untired. From cowardice defend us, from lethargy awake. Forth on thine errand send us, to labor for thy sake.
A big hug from Quito, Ecuador, from me and my family. Thank you for your support and thank you for this opportunity to be with you this morning. My name is Oscar Aguirre and I am the Executive Director of Pan de Vida Ministries in Quito, Ecuador. We are living through very strange circumstances, aren't we? Here in Ecuador, we are in our sixth shelter in place week. We are at home and we are working from home. And we are teaching our kids. Our family, thankfully, is healthy and well. Lori and I are very busy taking care of our kids. She is homeschooling them. I am trying to work here with busy with Pan de Vida. Actually, Pan de Vida is in a very busy season as we are trying to run operations in Quito and Guayaquil, the two biggest cities in Ecuador. The Ecuadorian government has us under very tight restrictions of movement. We cannot leave our homes. We can only go for grocery shopping once a week. We cannot drive and or go to parks. And we are curfewed at 2 p.m. every single day. The restrictions are having a very deep impact in Ecuador. Ecuador at the moment has around 10,000 COVID-19 cases. Most of them are located on the coast, in the Guayas province, and particularly in the Guayaquil area. The system and the healthcare facilities in that city have collapsed, the same as the sanitary system and also the legal system, the ones that manage the deaths. Perhaps you have seen some of the images in the news. Very, very sad. Many people have lost their jobs and many businesses have gone bankrupt. Now, we need to remember that in the last 4 years, our country has been through a lot. In 2016, we had a major earthquake. And in 2018 and 19, we had the major mass migration from Venezuela. Around 1.5 million people went through our northern border and 500,000 decided to stay in Ecuador. And now we have the COVID-19. And now, of course, with the fall in the oil prices, our economy is facing dark days in the future. This has an impact in our ministry. We have not been able to run normal operations during this time. Many of our beneficiary families are not receiving the help that we give them every week. Now, the majority of beneficiaries are part of this 47% of our population that the statistics show they live day to day selling in the streets. Right now, at the moment, they have no means to survive, no credit card, no savings, and they are passing through hunger and very difficult crisis within their homes. So here's what we're doing, and this is the beautiful blessing and a ray of hope. We are able to get a team of volunteers to come to Pan de Vida on a daily basis to do different operations, to receive products, to pack emergency kits, and to deliver those kits in Quito. And we have another group in Guayaquil through a beautiful opportunity that opened up two weeks ago to actually have different vehicles taking those bags and taking them to the families. Now, today we have been able to reach 488 families, almost 2,000 individuals in both Quito and Guayaquil. The need is great, and we can operate only within our means and within the donations and supplies we get. Please continue to pray for us.
For brokenness, hope for despair. Lord, in the suffering, this is our prayer. Bread for the children, justice, joy, peace. Sunrise to sunset, your kingdom increase. Shelter for fragile lives, cures for their ills, work for the craftsmen, trade for their skill, land for the dispossessed, rights for the weak, voices to plead the cause of those who can't speak. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold heart, let tears fall like rain. Come change our love from a spark to a flame. Cities for sanctuary, freedoms to share. Peace to the killing fields, scorched earth to green. Christ for the bitterness, his cross for the pain. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion. Tears fall like rain. Come change our love from a spark to a flame. Rest for the ravaged earth, oceans and streams, plundered and poisoned, a future and dreams. Lord, in our madness, carelessness, greed, make us content with the things that we need. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, the tears fall like rain. Change our love from a spark to a flame. Lighten our darkness, breathe on this flame, until your justice burns brightly again. Until the nations learn of your ways, seek your salvation, and bring you their praise. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, the tears fall like rain. Come change our love from a spark to a flame. God of the poor, friend of the weak,
fall like rain. Come change our love from a storm to a
Luke 17, verse 11 to 19. Now on his way back to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where were the other 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."
Hello and welcome again to yet another message in our series of Grace Encounters. And I really love this series. I think it's so really relevant to our lives just now. It's good for our souls to concentrate on Jesus, to try and get closer to him. As I said throughout the series, from the very beginning of this message, even before we started this message, let's use this time that God has given us just now through this coronavirus, through these very unfortunate circumstances, to get closer to God, to get to know him better, to allow him to come in and deal with some of our crippleness, deal with some of our inadequacies, with some of our illnesses that are both dragging us down and keeping us from enjoying him. And especially having and experiencing that joy of his salvation. And so thank you again for watching our messages online and as they are broadcasted on YouTube and so on. And thank you for your, again, encouragement that you send me through emails or through ringing me. And isn't that lovely, our fellowship, how we ring one another to see how we're doing and keeping in touch with one another through Zoom and through this incredible multimedia tools that we use that are at our disposal today. It's been a real, real blessing to have people ringing me to see how I am. How wonderful that is, you know. The teams of carers in our church ringing and saying, "How are you, Pastor?" How lovely is that? And I do hope and trust that this message finds you well again. And let me reassure you of my prayers. I take every day, every single day, I take an hour and a half where I sit down with our book of fellowship and go to every single name and pray for every single one of you. Alongside at the back, I have a list of names where I put of people who I want to pray that are not part of our fellowship or they are not members of our church, and I keep them there in written in pencil so I can pray for them. I keep that list day by day in front of me, where I pray for all of you that the Lord will get close to you, that you will have the strength to get close to him, and that throughout this period you will have a grace encounter with the Lord. So this passage, we come into our fifth message in the series. We look, if you remember, at the different aspects, and we started with the paralytic man. I think it was in Luke chapter 5. Then, of course, we had a look of how Jesus was anointed by that wonderful woman in Luke chapter 7. And then we moved on to Luke chapter 8, where we saw the woman with an issue of blood who came in the middle of that very busy street and crowd that were around Jesus. She touched Jesus and she was made whole. She was healed and transformed. Those are three incredible encounters of grace. And last week, we had another big, massive one where we saw that woman who comes as crippled and as infirm as it can get. And she came in met Jesus, and Jesus healed her in an incredible way, in a fantastic way. A grace encounter with God. And so this week we come to a new story, a new fresh encounter with God's grace. We come to a fantastic new revelation of God's love for his people. I could have called this sermon again many, many names, but one of them probably that I would have liked to is responding to God's blessings, or something like social and spiritual contact with Jesus. Poignant that we talk about that as we talk through all the stories that Jesus usually touches people as they come into contact with him. But this story, in this story, he doesn't touch them physically. He touched them socially and spiritually, and he transformed their mind. Yet he touches them through his spirit, that the physical aspect of life and of their physiognomy changes completely. And this is the story of these 10 lepers, whom we come to hear about in our reading this morning. Incredible story of God's transforming grace into people's lives. Whether you're a believer in Jesus Christ or not, the fact is that God blesses you far more than you can imagine or you can even expect from him. And it's important to understand how to respond properly to God's abundant blessing. God blesses us day by day. And if I were to make a list of God's blessings, and trust me, I've started to make one, because I've got the time now. I don't have meetings, I don't have to go out of the house. And I've started to make a list of blessings, and I've written here on my list some of the things that I want to give thanks to God in the midst of such circumstances, difficult circumstances. I urge you to try and do that if you have the time. I'm sure you might have the time this time around. Just sit down for 10, 15 minutes while you have a cup of coffee, and every day, every other day, whenever you have the chance, at the weekend, or write down the blessings that the Lord has given you, whether it's over the years or whether it's just now during this coronavirus. Just write them down. I put down, it was a no-brainer for me, the family. The family that God has given me, Sandra, the boys, and the immediate family around, my brother in Romania and so on. I put in, you know what I put? The church, the fellowship. They're my second family. I thank God for you day in and day out, as I said. I count my blessing by having you, such a loving fellowship, such an incredible, genuine, loving people. I thank God for friends. I thank God for food. I thank God for freedom to read my scripture and to pray and to express my faith. Those are things that sometimes we take for granted, but I want to thank God for the freedom to express that faith day by day. Many things that I can thank. This, the list goes on. We are really blessed, even in times like this, that we can say thank you to the Lord. And this is a story that we come to with the story of the 10 lepers. Is a story of thank you. Of thank you to God. Thank you for the blessing that he's bestowed on us. Thank you, of course, finally, and most importantly, for the salvation that he has given us. And Luke again paints this picture of a journey. He is all the time on the go. You very rarely find him in a synagogue, in church, in places like that. But he is all the time on the go. And now the scripture says that he was on the way to Jerusalem. And he traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. So just passing from the north to the south. And as he's traveling, those 10 leprous men, they see him. And as they see him, they stood at a distance. So they kept their social distance, because the lepers at that time, as you probably know and you've heard and you this before, and you probably many times you heard it from others or from preaching or many other avenues, is that people who had leprosy, they were the outcasts of the society. The illness was so terrible that it was eating people alive. The top of their fingers, of their toes were falling. Sometimes when that grew and more, and the disease became even more aggressive. Part of their limbs were falling off. It was a terrible time for people. And because of this, they were the outcast of the society. They had they were put on one side, and they didn't have any freedom or right to go and touch anyone. A little bit like we are today. We are not allowed to have close encounters, shake hands less than 2 meters around. We need to stay away from people. It's our social distancing needs to be respected. And this is the kind of social distancing at that time. They had their coronavirus of the time. Those 10 people had leprosy. It's, if I could make that kind of parallel between that and the coronavirus, in terms of social distance, it was very much the same. They wouldn't allow to come any closer to people. And they come to Jesus and they ask for mercy. It's lovely how they shout to Jesus and say, Master. They recognize who he is. They recognize that he is of a higher authority, that he's got the power to heal, that he's got the power to bring healness to people's lives. And they shout to him from the top of their voice. I can imagine they were, as it were, crippled and ill and itching all over their bodies and with their rotten clothes and rotten bodies, looking at Jesus. And for the last time, probably were on the top of their voice with their small little voice, shouting, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. And one thing that I want to draw out from this is that that word mercy, it's what describes our condition today. Though we all need God's mercy, and in this story I want to bring that first truth out of it, that when we come to God, we need to come with that attitude of recognizing who we are, and who we are is bad news, because we are people of sinful attitude, rooted in the desire of our flesh, of our disobedience to God. And they come to recognize that, Master, have mercy. Jesus, Lord, have mercy on me, because we are sinners. We are, and that was the image and the understanding of that time, that if you had a disease or if you had a trouble in your family, you were harboring sin in your life, and because of that, you were suffering. And so people looked at people at leprosy as a punishment from God. And it's incredible how mercy is what these people want. Have mercy on us. Probably meaning we also want to be healed at the same time. And the first step to receiving God's blessing is to acknowledge our desperate condition before him, that we need his grace in our lives. We need his mercy in our life. And Jesus encountered such terrible men with such a terrible condition. Second thing that I want you to is that this word mercy, like grace, is God's undeserved favor. That's what mercy is. It's God's undeserved favor. We didn't deserve God's favor, God's love, God's forgiveness. And grace is getting what we do not deserve. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. We should deserve God's punishment, but God didn't give us. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. We got love and forgiveness and compassion from God. And the lepers pleaded with Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Mercy like grace is God's undeserved favor. By crying out for mercy, these men again acknowledge their state of sin and disobedience to God. When Jesus healed the leper in Luke chapter 5, I think it's verse 13, he first healed him and then instructed him to go and show himself to the priest. But here, without any evidence of healing, Jesus instructs these people to go and show themselves to the priest. They haven't been healed, But Jesus says, you now go and show yourself to the priest. And second point that I want to make in the story is that for us to sometimes experience God's blessing in the midst of our difficult circumstances is that we need to act on his promises before that blessing comes. Blessing, and you've heard me say that many a times, always is follow or precedes obedience. Obedience comes first and then comes blessing. As we obey God, blessing comes. I preached that many a times to you from the scripture, and this is a truth that we must never forget. And this is the truth that comes out from this passage. In the midst of all this, God says to these people, hey, you go and show yourself to the priest. Why Jesus tell them that is because the priest in them days, he wasn't just a preacher, the pastor in the synagogue or the liturgy planner as such, the worship leader, but he was also acting as a prophetic healer. He was someone who would have proved if someone has been genuinely healed and has been genuinely restored back to life. And in this case, Jesus sends those 10 lepers to, says, go on and show them that you have been healed. We don't experience that healness, so that the priest can sign that freedom paper that you can now go on, you can be socially in touch with people. You are not any more socially distant with them. And so they go. And as they go, the scripture tells us here that as they were going, they were cleansed. As they were going, they were cleansed. In order for the miracle to happen, this man had to start walking in faith before their circumstances had changed. You know, sometimes many of us don't have the courage to take that jump because we are afraid of what might happen. Let me tell you how many dreams have been shattered in our lives because we didn't take that step of faith, because we didn't jump when the Lord sent to jump. Yes, okay, and don't misunderstand me. It's difficult in life to jump because we don't know where we're going to land when we jump. We can land in trouble. Those 10 lepers didn't know how they're going to look stupid to the 10 priests when they get there, or they're going to look really being full of joy because they've been cleansed. Remember again, they haven't been cleansed when they're on their way. So imagine how as they walk, that they're cleansed and they see, or look at their hands, how fingers are restored on their fingers, how their faces look nicely, like somebody just shaved them. Beautiful color comes returning to their face. The stinking smell has gone away. They look fantastic, like the new wine in old clothes, in the old wineskin. They look wonderful as they go to that priest. So here they go. And they took this step of jumping. They jump, knowing that they might land badly. And many a times in our lives, as I said, we stop jumping or we don't want to jump because we might land in trouble and we don't know. And let me tell you, spend this time with the Lord that the Lord has given us in your intimate time with him to ask him, Lord, where is it that you want me to jump? It might be a new career. It might be a new gifting and serving in church. It might be a new look at life. It might be a new whatever it is. Let me tell you that if you jump in faith by the Lord, with the Lord, your life will never be the same and you will experience his blessing. Let me tell you also a truth. That you might not land on a soft, nice cushion. You might come among the thorns. You might come among the rocks. But I pray that you will come on and you will land on a nice, soft cushion. But what is important here is not where you land, but it's the jump that is important. What was important in this story here, it wasn't the fact that they were healed. No, it was their obedience to go and act on God's word. Yes, they were healed, and that's a miracle. And the miracle wouldn't have happened if they wouldn't have taken that step of faith to go and show themselves to the priest. But that's what happened to them. And they are healed. I want to explain you something from the word here that is very important for you to get this. That There are three words here used for healing as such. Yeah? And I want you to look first at verse 15. Look at verse 15. If you get your Bibles with you, look at verse 15. One of them, when he saw, he was healed. One of them, when he saw, he was healed, came back and so on. The word healing there is the word hyata in Greek, which is a very pure medical term. It means to mend or to repair. It's broken and it's put together. And that's what it was. So it's a very medical term. In verse 17, look at me at verse 17. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Now, again, this is a medical term. This is not the word hyata, but is the word katarizo, a Greek word which means catheter. It's the word that, again, is a medical surgical word that people use when they have heart operation. And it means to remove impurities. It means to take away the blockage. And this is what Jesus, have they not been taking the blockage out of them? Have they not been cleansed from their impurities that they were clogging their life and clogging their whole bodies? And then look with me at verse 19. Another word that Jesus uses is there. Jesus says to this very thankful man who comes back to him, he says, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. This is the translation here in IV, but in the Greek language, your faith has saved you. That's the real meaning of this word here. Has made you well. You are healed now, mind, body, and soul. You are saved. Made you well is a different one from the two. It's not a medical word. It's the word sozo, which means soteria, which means salvation in the Greek. And the Greek use it for people who escape very dangerous situation, very impossible situation, like mission impossible, very, very difficult situation. Snatched out from the snares of the evil one. And when Matthew began his gospel, he started with the Christmas story, and it says the angel told Joseph to name the Christ child Jesus, because the name means save people from their sins. The word save there, sozo, is the same word used here. When Paul described what would happen to a person who publicly professed Jesus as Lord and Savior, he uses the same word. He says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, by the way, this is in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. The word saved there is the word soteria, the word being completely, completely made well, made well. And Jesus says to this very thankful man, because as you know the story, all 10 are healed, but this guy out of 10, only one comes back in a huge, massive, loud voice, praising God and singing hallelujah to him. And he does three incredible things. He praises, and then he prostrates down at Jesus' feet, and in other words, he worships, and then he thanks him. Praise, worship, and thanks. Your faith has saved you. And this is the reaction of this man, gratitude. In the midst of his suffering, he comes to say thank you to God for that incredible miracle act of salvation. Spurgeon points out that our beloved Baptist preacher, Charles Spurgeon, points out that while 10 men pray, only one praised. While the others got what they want, it was only one who actually came back and gave thanks. He says that even so, there are far more who are prone to pray in a time of need than to praise God when he meets that need. That's what Spurgeon tells us. Oswald Chambers is a preacher, again, that I read his very everyday daily readings. I've been doing so for years. I really recommend My Utmost for His Highest. Incredible book. If we can get hold of it, it's really, really nice book. And he says this: the great difficulty spiritually is to concentrate on God, and it is his blessings that make it difficult, very difficult. Troubles nearly always make us look to God. His blessings are apt to make us look elsewhere. Isn't that true for all of us? If the Lord has delivered us and our souls from his judgment, we ought to let others know about it. I have to remind myself that praise the Lord is not just a slogan. It's not just something of a theological concept that I kind of preach or I use or I enjoy. No, praise the Lord is something of a command from the Lord. If my life is not marked by frequent praise to God for his many blessings, I am not being obedient to him. And being thankful to God is an attitude that we adopt in our praise, in our worship, in our gratitude towards him. And whereas it says there that he prostrated at Jesus' feet, whereas before the man had to keep his distance from Jesus, he now takes away that social separation, that social distance, and he comes and touches Jesus' feet, fall on his face, acknowledging God's sovereignty and lordship as such. And he, with a grateful heart, prostrates there and says, I am really, really, really thankful. Because I love it when he says, he really shouted out loud. And Jesus calls him a foreigner. So he must have been a Samaritan out of those 10 lepers. Clearly, Jesus was pleased with his expression of thanks, and he is overjoyed to see this young man return and proclaiming and saying that actually it is your faith that has saved you, your faith in the Son of God, not just because you've seen the miracle, but because you've come back to recognize of who I am. I am not just a miracle worker, as we've seen this throughout all these 5 stories, but I am the Son of God who have come to give him forgiveness, to bring salvation, not just to bring and put a plaster on a wound. I am the Son of God. I am the Savior of the world. And thank you for recognizing that within me. And this is what Jesus' attitude is towards this 10th leper, to this foreigner who comes back. And I think this, the story in conclusion, reminds us that we need to cultivate a heart of praise, of worship, of gratitude and thanksgiving. And then in the midst of our very crippled, leprosy, anxious, fearful situation in which we are. But watch out for, in these times of where we are, shielded away from society, shielded away from fellowship and so on, watch out for God's small voice that sometimes tells jump, or ask us to move on in faith and take that step and go and show ourselves and his love that is given to us till we can share it to others. Watch out for that voice. 13 years before his conversion, John Wesley had a conversation late one night with a porter of his college that deeply impressed him. And Wesley discovered that the man had only one coat and nothing had passed his lips that day except a drink of water, and yet his heart was full of gratitude to God. This porter was giving God thanks all the time for all the blessing that he has given him. And Wesley said, you thank God when you have nothing to wear, nothing to eat, and no bed to lie upon. What else do you thank him for? The man looked straight into Wesley's eyes and took him by his shoulders, big massive shoulders, grabbed him by both hands, and he said to him, I thank him that he has given me my life, my hands, my being, and a heart to love him, and a desire to serve him, and the power to hug you, my brother, he said. And that's what really stay and remain with Wesley for the rest of his life, cultivating in him a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving in the midst of very difficult circumstances. And Wesley had very difficult circumstances too. So gratitude is not just an action, or it's not just something we do. Gratitude is a state of mind. It is a way of being. It's who we are to God. It's not I'm doing this and I'm doing that, showing, you know, as a society, we are very polite here. We thank X and Y and Z for that and the other. But it's just an act that we do of thanksgiving. But what the Bible tells us here that in this story is that gratitude is a way of living, is a way of worshiping God that we're expressing in our everyday acts of serving and compassion towards other people. And I hope and pray that the Lord will cultivate that heart within you and that attitude within you, that you'll continue to serve Him. I hope that this message will bless you and will fill your heart with gratitude for the Lord. So let me pray with you before I close. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message again. Thank you for your story of love. Thank you for your story of healing for these 10 people. Thank you for what we heard this morning. We ask that you will help us to understand through the power of your Holy Spirit that you would like us to have an attitude of gratitude, that you would like us to take a step of faith in order to see your blessings following us. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters, wherever they are now, for people who are watching this message, that you will bless them, that in whatever their infirmity might find themselves, whatever their leprosy might be, you will touch and heal them, and that they will have the courage to use that as a witness to your glory. But in the midst of all that, I pray that you will continue to heal our souls, not just our bodies. We don't just want the plaster on our wounds, but we want your Holy Spirit to reach deeply into our lives, transform them and change them. We want to have intimacy with you. When we come out of this quarantine, when we come out of this circumstance, we'll be a different person. The only thing that will matter in life, you will be you and you alone, and I will walk with you. Father, we pray that you will strengthen us. You will bless our fellowship and our church, those who struggle with loneliness and anxiety and fear, those who have lost a loved one. Our government, bless them, from the Prime Minister to those who are working around him, to hospitals and doctors and those who are on the front line. Lord, bless Italy, Spain, China and all the countries who are starting to recover now. Father, we ask your healing presence, that soteria, that salvation of the whole world. We thank you that you're a God of grace. And in your name, we follow and we offer our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.
Come on, church.